And this morning, the message is on my heart. I've shared recently, well, back in November, I shared a message about living the transformed life. And then the last few weeks, I've shared with you messages entitled Living the Forgiven Life, Living the Yielded Life. And today I want to talk to you about living the Spirit-filled life. I've got to begin with a confession. I got caught. There's evidence to this. This past week when we were in the mountains. They had a Kilwin's ice cream shop. I went up to the ice cream counter. I told the guy, I prayed the Lord's Prayer this morning, lead me not in temptation, but here I am, and I don't guess he led me in here. But anyway, I enjoyed some ice cream. Then we got here Friday night before the service. I'm back in the booth helping with some cameras and stuff. And I got a text from my son-in-law that sent me a picture of one of my little grandsons, Solomon. And he said, Solomon insisted that I send you this picture. And here it is. So, you know, my DNA circulates in his little body, right? There's some evidence to that, that it's been transferred. Did you know that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is evidence that Father's spiritual DNA is in you? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. The early church lived with a continual awareness of His presence and power in their life. The tagline of this message would be, what the early church lived with that we can't live without. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Jesus called Him our comforter, our helper. The Greek word is parakletos. It means one who is called alongside. That's the Greek word. Helper, comforter, encourager. It has different nuances of meaning depending on which one you want to focus on. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, now this was, John 14 is just such a pivotal section of Scripture because it's like Jesus is going to be dying in a few hours and he's giving this last minute information to His disciples. You can imagine that. I've been with families before when a loved one was about to pass and the families gathered around and the loved one sharing things with us always. A heart-rending, deeply touching moment. Well, this is Jesus' time, John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17. A lot of space is given in John's gospel to those last hours before Jesus would be crucified. And He said this, and after He tells them, I'm going away, He even tells them, it's expedient, necessary, or loosely translated, it's better for you to your advantage if I go away. Now that'd be a hard pill to swallow if you were one of those disciples. But Jesus was telling them the truth, and He tells them why. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He, that is Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. Forever. Now, this word helper doesn't mean someone less than. The Holy Spirit is not just our sidekick. He's not a passenger in our car. He's the driver as believers. I do want to point out something else in this verse before we move on. That word, another. Another. I will send you another helper. Jesus had been their helper. He had been alongside them. He led them. He taught them. And so forth. He says, I'm leaving, But I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you. And he says, another helper. Now, in the Greek New Testament, there are two different, say different, there are two different Greek words that can be translated into the English language as the word another. The first one that I want to talk about is the word heteros. It's like the word we use when we say heterogeneous or heterosexual. Heteros means one similar but different. Maybe the same kind but different. All right? The other Greek word for another is the word allos. The transliteration would be A-L-L-O-S, allos. And that means another one of the same identical kind and essence. So when Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, he's telling them more than we might think when we read it in English. He's telling them, even though I am going away, you're used to me being alongside you, teaching you, leading you, guiding you, helping you. Father is going to send you someone just like me. And he's going to be with you forever. He's not going to go away. He's going to be with you forever. Now, before I jump on, let me bring one other verse into this just to really clarify. In Galatians chapter 1, which is, by the way, the earliest letter by date that was probably ever written that became a part of what we call the New Testament. Paul wrote a letter to the churches in the region called Galatia. And in verse 1, he begins to addressing false teachers who were coming in and teaching them something differently than he had taught them. And he said, I am amazed that you are so soon turned away from the grace that's in Christ to another gospel, which is not another. And that's confusing in the English. Well, which is it, Paul? You're turned aside to another gospel, but it's not another gospel. That doesn't make sense. It does when you read it in the Greek. You have turned aside to a heteros gospel, a gospel that's a different kind of message than what I gave you. And it's not allos. It's not another. It's not. It's heteros. It may look like the same thing, but it's different. It's not allos. It's not the same exact thing that Jesus carried and that I released to you. It's like back in Kilwin's ice cream shop. I got a chocolate. I mean, I've actually got a degree in chocolatology. I mean, when inventors of ice cream got the chocolate, why in the world they kept inventing other flavors, I'll never know. It's nonsensical to me. So I got chocolate ice cream in my cone. Well, Mickey got a cone. She had stuff put in her cone. We both had cones. Huh? You're messing up my illustration. She had ice cream, but it was a different kind. Mine was chocolate. But had I dropped my chocolate ice cream cone, I would have gone back up, and he would have put chocolate ice cream in another cone. It would have been allos. It's not the same cone and the same ice cream, but it's identical to the cone of ice cream I had previously. So when Jesus says, I'm going to send another helper, I'm sending a helper that's the same as me. He's just like, he's not me, he's Holy Spirit. He's just like me. And later in the New Testament, there's times when, Jesus said he's going away, but then, well, let me show you another verse, because something else can be confusing. Look at John, by the way, he's not coming as a guest, but as the governor when he comes. But look at this. We're talking about his presence now. That his presence, there's three interactions with the Holy Spirit that I'm going to talk about in this message, and I've led up to this first one, the presence. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come and be with us. But it's more than that. Look at this. He talks about the indwelling that happens when you're saved. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you also trusted, that is in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. You got saved when you heard the truth of the gospel. You heard it. You placed your faith in it. That resulted in your salvation. He says, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you got saved, you got sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is, He came to live inside of you. Look at this scripture in John 14, going back to John 14. Jesus goes on to tell them, for He dwells with you and will be, what? In you. So in other words, He said, guys, it's going to be different when I go away because Holy Spirit's been with you this whole time in their ministry. He'd been there. But now He's going to be in you. I will not leave you orphans. Who's an orphan? Someone without a parent. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, which is it? Jesus, are you coming to them or the Holy Spirit? I don't think this is a reference to the second coming. Because He said, He'll be in you. And He says, He'll be in you forever. We just read that. What He's talking about, the same God who is Spirit. When He moved upon the womb of the Virgin Mary and made a body for Jesus, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. When He stood in the Jordan and the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came upon Him and empowered Him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Jesus is telling these disciples, I will not leave you with orphans. You will not be without a father. I will come to you. And we know that one of the things that the Father wants you to know is that you are His. I say this often. God wants you to know, as a believer, that you are His child and He is your Father. And Jesus says here, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And we just read in Paul's writing there in Ephesians. He said, you'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. What's the Spirit of promise? Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and indwell believers. This term seal was clearly understood in the days of the Bible because the king would have a signet ring. No one else in the kingdom had one, only his. When he would prepare a document out of papyrus, and before, when they'd roll it up, they'd pour hot wax on the edge, and he would press his ring down into that hot wax. That document would be delivered to the person it's supposed to be delivered to, and when they got it, if that seal had not been broken, that would be an attestation, an authentication, a verification that the contents of that document were put there by the king himself. And Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, tells us when we're saved, when we hear the truth and we believe, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals us. Paul in Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that we belong to Him. Jesus said when He comes, He will be in you. Paul wrote and said, your very body is the dwelling place, the temple. Your body is tabernacling this morning the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 9, if you don't have Holy Spirit living in you, you don't belong to Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the seal that you're His. You're a genuine, bona fide, justified, sanctified, glorified child of the living God Most High, and Holy Spirit is there as proof of it. God's presence dwells in you through His Spirit. Living a Spirit-filled life, a major component of that is means that we're living completely aware, listen, assured and affirmed that God is not only with us, but God is in us. If I was going to preach a message just on this part, I'd tell you God's with you, God's in you, God's for you, God's around you, God's above you, God's got you. And that's the truth. So part of living a spiritual life is being aware that you belong to the Lord. And listen, in the kingdom, I'm talking about people that are saved, that are truly saved. There are so many that are living without any assurance, any certainty that they're saved. You can know you're saved. And you can know you're saved, and you can be out of the will of God. And you can be rest assured, and it can be verified that He will correct you because He's a good Father. Years ago, I was ministering to a group of ladies from Teen Challenge, Mickey and I were, and they were lined up and were praying. The number of gifts were flowing. It was beautiful. But I stood before one young woman, and I heard the Lord so clearly say this. It's a real simple thing. I heard the Lord say, tell her, Daddy God loves her. And so I told her, I said, I feel like the Lord is telling me to tell you, Daddy God loves you. When she heard those words, she erupted in weeping. I mean, deep weeping. And I was just amazed at how much God loved this woman, because He knew the one thing, the dam that had been built in her mindset, the dam that had been built between her heart and God's love really transforming her the way He wanted to transform her, was that rejection, that uncertainty, that why. How could God love me? Why would God want me? How could God use me? Well, I would first of all say to you, you know, that's God's business. You just need to believe what He says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you call on Him, you're saved. The Spirit of God comes in and seals you, sews that up, and God wants you to know you are now mine. Trust me. Follow me. Let me love you. Presence. Part of living a Spirit-filled life is you're aware of God's presence. I mean, I really sensed His presence manifesting in this service this morning, but I'm talking about intrinsic for you, inside, internally. You have that assurance, I know I am loved by my Father God. That is that revelation. Why? Because you will be a slave to fear all the days of your life till you get a revelation of the perfect love of God. John understood this, that apostle of love, and he said, it's the perfect love of God that casts out all the fear, all that rejection, all that shame that makes you feel unworthy, that God couldn't love you, all the different forms of fear and the torment that the devil brings to your front doorstep and hounds you with. When God's perfect love comes and you finally understand, I'm loved unconditionally. Jesus paid it all. I belong to Father. His blood is worthy. I've been made righteous by His blood. You can be accepted. You can know it. It's so important. So important. Why choose to live with the torments that come because you can't find that place of assurance? God lives inside of me. Now, you're not God. I'm not either. But His Spirit dwells in you. You see, things in the spiritual realm are different than things in the material realm. Scientists can't prove or disprove the spirit realm stuff. And people want to condition themselves to rule out anything they can't explain. only way you could fully understand everything out there is to be God. And that's a foolish position to vie for. It really is. The indwelling that happens when you're saved, that's the presence of God. The presence. I hope you know the reality and presence of God's Spirit inside of you, bearing witness with you that you belong to Him. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in Romans 8 that Holy Spirit, when He comes to live in you, He begins to say, Abba. That's an Aramaic term that means Papa. It's a term of endearment. Abba. Papa. Papa God. Isn't that something? It's like the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to know your Papa. I want you to know your Father, your Daddy. It's what Jesus was talking about when He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to help you know who your Father is. He's going to show you the Father. I've shown, He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what Father looks like? Look at me, Jesus said. And so Holy Spirit, He's bringing that same message. I want to show you the Father. I want you to know the Father. I want you to know the love of the Father. Some of you have been mistreated. You know what it's like to be, well, gun barrel straight, to be verbally abused, to just be stripped of any sense of worth or value. You know what it's like to be humiliated, to be seduced into believing that something's radically wrong with you, that you're just totally messed up and irredeemable and unlovable. We're all sinners, and I'm not talking about messed up in the sense that we're all messed up as sinners. But I'm talking about the liar of all liars. He wants you to have a version of yourself that never lets the revelation of grace and love do its work in your heart. Holy Spirit comes. He's going to begin. That's Spirit-filled life. You're beginning to see movement in your life. You're getting over that rejection. Prayed with someone in the early service. It's about rejection. You're getting over that stuff because you're aware the Lord loves you. The Lord's with you and He's helping you. Second interaction of the Spirit beyond His presence is His power. Power. This, I'm talking about the baptism of the Spirit that happens. That can happen when you're saved or it can happen later, subsequent to your salvation. But when it happens, there's power that comes. Jesus, full of the Spirit, when He is baptized, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit came and remained on Him. He went out, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, did battle with the enemy. Then He comes, it says, in the power of the Spirit. He comes back to Nazareth. He unscrolled Isaiah 61 that Pastor Doc preached about last Sunday. And He made that announcement, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. See, He was empowered now. He was anointed with power to heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, open blinded eyes, and so forth. That's the power. The Lord wants you to know His presence. But He doesn't want us to stop there. He not only wants the Holy Spirit to live within us and begin that. And listen, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit's power works in you powerfully because He's in there. He begins to work with your character to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we're yearning for, I want the gift of miracles. Well, you need to love your wife first, or you need to learn how to be more gentle, or those are fruits of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to be working on your character. He will produce the character of Christ in your life. That's that work within you. But when the Spirit comes upon you, that's empowerment. That's manifestations of His power that's often seen through the gifts. Miracles, gift of faith, gift of healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the prophetic, and so forth. Those are manifest. And by the way, Joel, looking toward Christ hundreds of years earlier, had prophesied in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. And sons and daughters, they will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. Young men will have visions. The maidens, the handmaidens, and the manservants, they will prophesy. Joel saw it as he looked into the future. God pulled back the curtain, and Joel could see a time that when God's Spirit, that Jesus said, hey, I'm going away, but I'm going to pray, and the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. Joel saw that in the past and prophesied it, and he knew when it happened, the mouths of men and women were going to be open. There was going to be prophetic ministry. There was going to be all kinds of signs and wonders ultimately in the heavens. A lot of that is yet to come. That's right at the end of the end times, the last days. But we're in the age of grace. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still pouring out his Spirit on people. And some people, when they get saved, depending on the setting, the ministry that's taking place, they may be baptized with power and the Spirit at the same time. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is about empowerment. Look at this scripture. It says in Acts 1:8, this is before the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. He says, you shall receive what?
Power.
Power. There it is. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I often will teach this about the within you ministry of the Holy Spirit, producing character. That happens when you're saved, the indwelling. But then there's the upon you ministry of the Holy Spirit, when the power comes, when Father begins to manifest his power through your life to other people. And that's a witness to him. So you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And we need this power. We desperately need this power. Now, I want to take just a moment. I'm not going to labor here much because it's not a message on tongues. But a lot of times people say, well, what about tongues? Does that mean you have to speak in tongues when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? That's called the tongues is the initial evidence of having been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't hold that position. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches, because there are times when you see people that says that the Holy Spirit came upon them that this is not mentioned. But I think it's available to all believers. I would encourage you to pray for it, to ask for it. I know that I actually was speaking in tongues several weeks before what I received, what I called a power encounter with God. I would encourage you not to try to build your little theological box. Now, God, you got to do it A, B, C, D. Because you don't see that in the book of Acts. Peter goes to the household of Cornelius. He doesn't even get finished preaching. Holy Spirit falls on them. They start speaking in tongues. They hadn't been baptized or anything. And yet people will want to develop doctrines. Well, it's got to be in this order. I'm just for God doing it ever how God wants to do it and getting all he wants to give. And I encourage you to have an open door to Holy Spirit, ever how he wants to flow, ever how he wants to operate. And I've definitely had people I've seen begin to operate in power. I've seen the gifts manifested that they weren't able to speak in tongues. Now, a lot of them later will testify, you know, I kept praying, and one day in my prayer closet, I started speaking in this heavenly language. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues because the Bible says we can do that. I don't think it's you have to. I think it's you get to. I might even say you ought to. Paul says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I know there's been so many times when I've been praying about something, when I shift and just start praying in the Spirit, that is, out of my spirit, I'm praying in tongues. My mind doesn't know what's going on, but what will happen to my mind is I'll start getting revelation. The Lord might show me a little picture, a vision. I get a word, I get a scripture, and that will lead me into the answer I'm looking for. Often that's just Holy Spirit interpreting what's taking place in this dialogue. You can speak in tongues, you can sing in tongues, you can pray in tongues. You can find all this in Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And one thing you won't find in there is him saying, stop speaking in tongues. What you do find is him saying, do not forbid people from speaking in tongues. I might just point out, if you enjoy standing against it and forbidding people, like, you shouldn't do this, you are directly contradicting apostolic teaching that's clearly written in the New Testament. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. And yet we got all blanket doctrines. We don't do that anymore. Even though God said, all right, fireworks are over. You got to pedal on your own now. I'm being a little, I might have crossed the line there, but we need power. It's not ours, it's his. And living that forgiven life, that yielded life, the spirit-filled life, means without him I can do nothing, but with Christ I can do all things. It's Jesus that makes the difference. So, I wanted to say that about tongues. The third area I've talked about, if you're going to live a spirit-filled life, you need to have that awareness that he's with you, that you belong to him, his presence. You won't ever be alone. He's not going to bail on you. He's there and he's there to stay. Jesus said he will abide with you forever. He either meant it or he didn't. Power. And there's so many times where God will manifest his power. This is a message I printed off. We got things on Messenger. I hadn't got to talk to Julie directly about this, so I'm just going to use her first name, Julie. Here a few Sundays ago in a service, and this is her testimony. Anyone that knows me knows I've been in a lot of pain over the last few years. I was eat up with osteoarthritis. Yesterday, I went to Grace House service, and the pastor was calling people to come to the prayer team for prayer for healing, like we do at the end of every service, come for prayer. She says, I stood there afraid to step out, and both of my friends went, and I stayed where I was. The man that prayed over them, and I've since learned, I think it might have been you, Mark McKissick. I don't know if Mark's here. Yeah. The man that prayed over them told me to come. That sure sounds like Mark. Pointed her out and told her to come up. She said, my friend Catherine said, go, God's not letting you out of this. So I went down there and woke up on the floor. I'll just have to try to explain that to y'all in another message, okay? I don't have time today. Been there, done that, and open for business today, amen? When I got up this morning, back to her testimony, when I got up this morning, this was the day after, I had no swelling or pain in my hands, our knees, our feet. I had full range of motion back in my feet. Even the one that was broken. I can squat down to the floor and stand back up. My knees never let me do that before. And the most amazing, my back that I've been having such pain in, I have not been able to bend and touch the floor in years. I can bend all the way over to the floor and touch the floor and stand back up with no help. My God is amazing. Tell me what God can't do with the faith of a mustard seed. He can do anything. Amen. Amen. I love that. God's power manifesting. And often it comes through the laying on of hands. You know, the laying on of hands is what the writer of Hebrews referred to as one of the elementary doctrines of the church. Foundational doctrines. How many times do we hear that taught? about the laying on of hands. But it's all in the New Testament. And you see the Old Testament, too, to a certain degree. You lay hands on people, lay hands on the sick that they may recover. You lay hands on people, send them out like to Guatemala. You lay hands on people to ordain them and set them in a position in ministry. You lay hands on people. Impartation can occur. Paul told Timothy, I laid hands on you and you got a spiritual gift activated in you. You see these types of things happening in the New Testament, and that's the New Testament that we're to live by. Not some revised version that cuts all that out. Power. The last interaction has to do with progress. And that brings us to the passage that tells us in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Don't be slobbered, okay? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you read the whole context, Paul then goes on to say, be filled with the Spirit through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, in other words, you want to stay connected in worship to the Lord, and through, you know what helps you do that? Presence. Lord, thank you for my relationship with you, Father God. I worship you. Sing a song to Him, to the Lord. When we're singing on Sunday morning, we're not singing to each other to be heard. We're singing to the Lord. We may be sometimes singing a song that's testimony in nature. I'm declaring to you through song what God's done for me. But that also is to give glory to Him. But in this, the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, We can experience a replenishing, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. The question is not so much are you filled with the Spirit, but are you full of the Spirit? The way we stay full of the Spirit is we go on being filled again and again and again. Acts 2, Holy Spirit poured out on like 3,000 people. Acts 4, many of those same people, and the Holy Spirit came on them again and filled them. They were crying out to God. They were being persecuted. And God gave a fresh outpouring on them to give them what they needed to face what they had to face. And they went out of that prayer meeting at the building they prayed in, shook. And they went out and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Jesus said, when He comes upon you, you'll be witnesses to me. So we have to be careful of always looking back to an encounter we had years ago. That's good to stir ourselves up by way of remembrance. If that's why we're doing it, to stir ourselves up, do it again, Lord. I need a fresh infilling. But don't just live back there. Oh, if it could just be like that again. Oh, how I long to see that again. That's not the kind of remembering we're encouraged to do. Like, Lord, you're the same now for me as you was on that Monday night of Memorial Day, May 26, 1997, when I, as a Baptist preacher that was hungry to see in my life and hungry to see in the church that I pastored the kind of stuff I read about that happened in the early church, I wanted more of the Holy Spirit. I needed that power I had only read about. I wanted to see that in my life, and I came to believe that has to be for today, because the Word's the Word, and Jesus is the same. And on that night, some hands were laid on me, and the Spirit of God came upon me. I had to be helped out of the building, helped into my house when I got home, and the fireworks started. I began to see things in the Spirit that in a way I never had before. These things called words of knowledge, I started having those. In a few weeks, I started seeing people healed. I had different accounts. You know, several weeks after I had that first encounter, I snuck off back to that church again. Hands were laid on me, and I was in the floor, and the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, that hook that so-and-so, except He didn't say so-and-so. He named names. He named people's names. The hook this person has in you, name their name, it's gone. And He went down through a list of, Every one of those represented an occasion where some type of fear tried to get a hold of me. Some type of control thing was trying to influence me. And God's like, yank those suckers out of there. And when I got up, I wasn't afraid of nothing. I mean, I probably should have been locked up after that. But, I mean, God just delivered me from so much of the fear of man. It was a power encounter. But you see, that was secondary to an encounter I'd already had. You can go on having these experiences where you're refreshed. Now, yes, I may use more of the dramatic examples, but there's been times when it hadn't been like that. There's times when it might be you're feeling some despondency and you're kind of down and out, and you're just pouring out your heart to the Lord. And then in a quiet, whispering way, all of a sudden you can feel God's presence, like the Lord just wraps you up in His arms. And all of a sudden, it's like life and energy begins to awaken within you. And the last thing on your mind in a matter of moments is any kind of despondency, any kind of discouragement. The peace of God has now come and replaced all of that. And it's like, all right, let's go. God's got this. It doesn't have to, let it be however He wants to do it. A quiet whisper in a private moment. Or a lightning bolt from heaven that shakes you to your core. Whatever, however He wants to do it. He is a God who is present. He is a God of power. And as we continue to walk this out, we will progress toward His plans and purposes for our life. We'll go more deeply into that. Literally, if you want to, let's do a little, I'm almost through here, worship team, if you want to head this way. This verse here about be filled with the Spirit. And I want to share it this way just to help really divide it accurately. If you were to study the grammar of this, regardless of the language, but original language is Greek. This is a present imperative passive. In other words, present means it's ongoing. It's something to be repeated. Imperative means it's not a suggestion. It is a command. And the passive means you can't do it yourself. The subject is Holy Spirit. He's the one that comes upon you. He's the one that refreshes you. He's the one that empowers you. He's the one who will cause you to flourish. It's not self-generated. It's something that you're the recipient of, which means the posture of our heart needs to be one of humility, one that's open to receive, one that doesn't build these walls that won't allow the revelation of God's truth to impact our lives. And a lot of times it comes when we're most desperate. I'd gotten to the place, on paper, I had everything I thought the pastor was supposed to shoot for. I mean, it was just incredible. I still love that season of ministry, still love those people, that place. But my love for the Word and my love for the Lord just got me to a place like, there's got to be something to this. Why is it in here if it's not for me? But I found out it was for me. And you know what? Regardless of the experiences or encounters you may or may not have had, there is always more with the Lord. Until He comes back, He's working to so that we'll progressively become more like Jesus Christ internally, and also Him manifested from our lives, because we're to be like shining lights. We're to represent Christ to the world. Be good representatives of Him. I feel like today would be a great time for our prayer team members to come up right now, and for us to have for those who may be tired, weary, just need a fresh infilling, where we can just practice the laying on of hands to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're desperate. Maybe you're having a hard time putting a thumb on why things aren't right. Come up, let somebody else put their thumb on you and see if that might help. Amen. Let them lay hands on you. I could share so many times that I've seen God use simple prayer and the laying on of hands. It was brought to my memory a number of years back. A young woman that had started attending our services. She was a UNA student. Like me, she had Baptist background. And she came to a service, and my understanding was after she came that first time, she didn't know if she'd be coming back. Kind of tripped her breakers, like wasn't used to being around. I mean, we can be an exuberant, emotional bunch, and I love that because we're told to lift up our hands. We're told to jump. We're told to shout. We're told to leap. All that's matter of fact, one thing we didn't see much of today, but one of the Hebrew words for praise means to spin like a top. And if you do that a while, then you can fall in the floor. I shouldn't have said that. But you can spin like a top, and you can end up in the floor. Just don't put those together. This young woman, though she so sensed God's presence, she came back anyway. Had lots of questions, and finally one day, she mustered up the courage. She came to the altar. Hands were laid on her, and the power of God came upon that young woman. She came undone. When she got up, her countenance was changed. Like the Lord had answered her questions. I'm not saying he fully explained everything, but she knew it was him. Her hunger for the Lord was amazing. Wasn't long she met a young man. Fast forward, they're in ministry today. Passing it on. Go on being filled again, again, and again with the Holy Spirit. Literally, a literal translation of this verse is, be being kept filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just a progressive, repeated thing that happens. We truly are drinking from a fountain that will never run dry. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. This he spake concerning the Holy Spirit, which they that believed on him would receive. Would you stand with me? And if you need a fresh infilling today, or maybe you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you want to say, I want to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. Come by faith to receive what God might want to do for you today. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us do what we need to do. But we know the results are up to you. Come have your way. Come have your way. Could you speak that over your heart? Oh, Holy Spirit, come have your way. Come have your way. We're going to begin to worship. Just like Paul said, Psalms, hymns, spiritual song. We're going to begin to worship. Be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Look up here. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on up as we worship. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this morning.
I love your presence. I love your
Are there others? Make your way. Make your way forward. That's your step of faith.
I love you, Jesus. I love your presence.
Thank you for your presence, Lord. Are there others? Come on up.
I love your presence.
Have your way, Lord. Day of your breakthrough, the day you find that peace you've so needed. Do you know Jesus? Come. Feel like this from the Lord, you pray about it, but I was hearing there's a decision you've been weighing, and you're asking, Lord, that's too big. I don't know if we can take that step. The Lord says, it's me. I've got it. You take it in Jesus' name. Does that make sense to you? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor Josh, is that you back there? I can't tell from here. I saw your hands up back there, and it's like I saw them reaching and grabbing a rope like you had grabbed to swing out over a cliff and release into a body of water. And the Lord says, yes, swing out there and let go. Swing out and let go. Swing out and let go. That's what I'm hearing. You weigh that. You pray about it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's someone here. This may seem like a small thing, but you're having a lot of pain in your fingertips, particularly the pointing finger on the left hand. And it's just kind of like a pulsating pain. And I believe the Lord wants to touch you and bring healing to that. Who are you? If you'd come up here and get prayer, I believe the Lord's going to touch you, having pain in your finger tips, particularly the left hand. Would you come? Could take these lights down just a little. It would help me to see a little bit more clearly. Sometimes I get directed to different people. I want to be sensitive to that. If you need prayer, please make your way forward. Also, inner ears, in your inner ears, if you're having some problems. I know that's kind of general, but a lot of times in situations like this, I'm just saying what I'm feeling in my body. I've learned that a lot of times the Lord lets me feel what other people are feeling, and that's the way we do this. I've seen Him heal so many people this way, but if you're having inner ear, particularly in the left side, okay, back there, Lord, I just pray for healing for a brother in the sound booth, that You would just bring healing to him in Jesus' name. If there are others, you come on up and get prayer right now in Jesus' name. And I just want to declare this. I believe that we are stepping into the edge of a season where we're going to begin to see waves of miracles. I just believe we're going to see an acceleration in healings and miracles and signs and wonders. I encourage you to pray toward that. Prepare yourself for that. Come expecting the Lord to move and to work powerfully. We're going to continue to minister up here. Thank you for being here today. You're always free to leave when you want to leave. But God bless you. Thank you for being here. Feel free to press in if you want to linger a while longer. We're just going to continue to minister. Can we give the Lord a hand?
Karen.